Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. I miss the times of the 90s. I miss a different time. Just look at this video, and I think we're so out of this time, it's almost scary. Look at the love in this video, and I miss that. I would love to be back there. Oops, I want to be sure that you get the sound here. So let me try to put it for the sound. Let's see if you get it that way. A fan of Michael Jackson is just acting crazy. Some rock and roll type of guy in the professional team gets her, brings her to Michael Jackson. These people are experiencing sadness, joy, intense feelings. These feelings are not possible anymore. Everything has become so realistic. There's no crazy moment like this anymore. Look at how completely kneeled and devoted she is. This must be lip sync, or maybe they've added a recording over it. And I love how the agent is going to force her out. Now look at the octopus reaction. I have seen this in my life. The octopus woman behaved exactly like this. Look at her legs, and it's like she has 8 limbs. And as she gets pulled away, Michael Jackson is pointing toward her. Today I was stunned. I don't know, this video has something. This doesn't exist anymore. There is such a connection between humans then that is totally gone. Everyone is on their smartphone. Now I know it sounds very stereotypical to bring that up, but it's really, we have disconnected from the world, and being more connected on the internet has led to a less real reality. White nationalist says, is she going to the wall? I don't know. Doubting Thomas says, beautiful. I changed my name as sent a super chat during the night. Thank you very much for supporting the show. He says, I'm 25 and I live in a secular European country. I get really anxious around attractive girls, so cold approaching is really difficult. I do not have hobbies where I socialize with people. Tinder feels repulsive and I feel pathetic. Not gonna go abroad. What do? How do I break my approach anxiety? It's very hard, and I totally understand how you feel. I've been there. I've been spending whole nights where I'm like, do I approach this girl? Do I approach this girl? And it's like, you end up approaching no one. So I totally get you. Totally normal. The tricks that I've been giving and that I've used myself, there are two tricks. within the boundaries of what you're explaining there, within your limits. Let me give you this one trick. The first trick is shoot for beautiful, beautiful woman. Forget about those women that you feel could realistically love you. First, you'll be surprised that extremely beautiful women are not used to being approached because they're just too beautiful, and they often people are just too intimidated in front of their beauty. So just take the most beautiful woman in wherever place you are, the bar, the street, and just go like a bull toward her, like you deserve her. Why do you do this? Not because you think it's going to lead to a story, but precisely this will neutralize your anxiety. So you know that there's no chance. You know that. So whatever this woman thinks of you, it will neutralize the part of your brain that says, I don't want to mess it up because that could work. Go for unrealistic. Go for a crazy top model that you feel you couldn't deserve, and practice on the top models, and then use these this confidence that you would have gained, because you'll be surprised. Many of extremely beautiful women feel lonely, and they will entertain conversation with you. So gain your confidence by practicing on top women, and then aim for your place in the market. That is the first trick I give you. The second trick I will give you: put yourself in the mental place where your challenge today is to say hello to a woman, period. Your challenge today is to say hello to a woman. Forget about any step after this. Let it go. Forget about thinking about it, being nervous about it. Forget about results. You have to start small, and it will start with a hello, and start with, say, a week where there is no other job for you, then start with a hello, and then let it go. And then just be satisfied that you've realized this. And then you'll see, you'll learn the patterns with which you can engage in a conversation when they display interest. Now, I won't lie to you. You are going on a path of cold approach. It is like you need to cold approach 10,000 women before you get a girlfriend. That's just the numbers. You know, we've been through it with Shrink My Mail. We've been through it with other people I've counseled. Those are the numbers. You will likely have to approach thousands of women before anything actually picks up. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, your opinion on live stream teams breaking up. You've been at different time in the position of host, taking the channel risk, and co-host. The co-host can often be edgier because they have less to lose. What is the optimal dynamic to make a live stream team work long term? Well, I mean, maybe I'm not the right guy to ask this question because I actually believe in the full destruction of live stream teams. I don't believe in teams. I believe that any sort of, in fact, Sorry, I misclicked. In fact, it's my position politically that difference is a problem. That difference leads to different interests. It leads to a fight between various interests, and that's what leads to political tension. If you're stuck with a bunch of leftists in your country will start taxing any sort of talented person. And they will do so on behalf of the non-talented. It's the same thing in live streaming. If there is difference, there is no place for a stable relationship. The only reason why I believe in stable relationships in male and female matters is that there is a united interest in the children. The children are truly 50-50 genetic representatives of the parents. So because live streaming will always involve an asymmetry of power and an asymmetry of income, I don't believe that there is such a thing as a stable live streaming relationship. So what are the optimal dynamics? Ultimately, what keeps a live stream team together is need. It's why was Andy Warski with me? Because he needed me. And why was I with Andy Warski? Because I needed him. I needed his undeserved audience, and he needed my underrated intelligence, period. That's it. So if you don't have bilateral need, you're never going to get a live stream team again, ever. Which is why the current generation of live streaming, it's all isolated people. They all have their little audience, and it's not blood sports level. But that's because the blood sports era existed in a world where people needed us. People didn't have their own capacities to entertain a full live stream. The market had not developed there yet. So their way to get attention was often to get on a bigger live stream. And the bigger live stream was the blood sports. Chris Brunet has revealed something that's surprising to me. He says, I want to address some rumors that have been circulating about me since they are cruelly coming out anyways. Yes, I was a victim in this lawsuit. Yes, I was seriously traumatized by it. No, this trauma did not drive me insane. So it's the disgraced fertility doctor that agrees to pay $13 million with families. He was putting his own sperm in the sperm donor place. So, so he was fathering all these children. And what is Chris Brunet telling us here? Chris Brunet is the guy who's flirting with Nick Fuentes these days, who in the past had been denunciating Nick Fuentes and in the past has been involved in exposing the plagiarism scandal of the Harvard president, which led to her firing. And then eventually he got to understand that Nick Fuentes' ID of the set of interests that drove the scandal was correct. Now we learned, what is Chris Brunet, has he been fathered by the disgraced fertility doctor? Is Chris Brunet a product of what we could call sperm donation interference? Very interesting. Stray's channel says sneaky fucker. That would be the name of the strategy indeed. Compare what we just saw of Michael Jackson with Taylor Swift. She got rid of her ring. So apparently she got a little ring. I don't know if it was a worthy ring. Was it the diamond ring or was it the $20 ring? But she was listening to a Taylor Swift concert and suddenly felt the need to just throw her ring. So is Taylor Swift pushing like these empowerment woman type of messages? Because I see all white women, and here we have one of them getting rid of the ring of her boyfriend. She removed her ring during Swift's My Tears Ricochet. She said the ring was a gift from her ex-boyfriend. Well, well, well. Interesting. Interesting behavior from the base of Taylor Swift. I don't think she's a good influence. I believe that your question about live streaming teams was related to Blonde. Blonde's about to go based 10x. 10x! Rebecca has said to our community, blah, 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 so her and Matt, they've had the honor of cultivating an incredible community. I will do the short version of her post. He was asking too many concessions of hers, and she has detailed now. She didn't in that original post, but she has now detailed that he was trying to take creative control of the whole show. She would not have had an opportunity to contribute as much. There was also a 60-40 split of the salary rather than 50-50 or 55-45. And on top of it, it seems that she wanted to push the base themes on the show. Yes, this is Blonde in the Belly of the Beast. Is that her name? She wanted to bring bass themes as she used to do, and as she has acquired an audience in that domain. And it seemed that it was becoming impossible. So she refused the offers and ran away while Matt, is it Matt Christensen? Is that this guy? Will keep the YouTube channel, it seems, and will be headed toward a less based direction. That's too bad, but that's the result. This is heartbreaks at the creator level that are caused by TOS. So here, at some point, the YouTubers, they get too comfortable. I didn't care about this, so I've always been. I don't care about safety. I don't care about long-term just maintainability. I care about changing the world. So I didn't care, but most YouTubers will be absolutely intimidated by TOS and will basically self-censor. So here you have an act of self-censorship that ultimately breaks a team. NN says Matt was involved in the whole Tenet nonsense. Oh, was he? Landolt Guntram says you still have to care about Canadian law. I do. I'm not telling you that I don't care about breaking any rule. I cared about being maintainable, but I didn't care about social respect. I was pursuing the truth as much as was possible while being a YouTuber. And in the end, they make it unviable. They target you with shadow banning. At some point, they stroke my channel, not because of a video on my channel, but because of a video on Mama JF's channel. Unbelievable. Like, it's whenever you have associates, they end up messing more than you do. But in the end, if they're going to do this, they're not good business partners. Lityogos says once Elon is in the White House, the PayPal mafia can begin their plan of subjugating digital finance with stable coins that are actually just privatized CBDCs. That's an interesting hypothesis. I think there are some dark things behind this whole relationship between Elon Musk and Trump. I'm still very alarmed at Musk being too kneeling to Jewish interest and to Elon Musk. And I don't know. I think we'll only discover once it goes in, once Trump wins, we'll only discover then what was the whole plan and what is Elon trying to insert into the government. Because their stated reason is Elon wants to be free of red tape and be free of regulations. Sure, not a bad idea. I like it, but I'm afraid there are other reasons, and this is one of the hypotheses out there that it's the PayPal mafia trying to get CBDCs into the government. It sits well with Trump talking positively about Bitcoin. By the way, Bitcoin 69K, unbelievable. It's going back to the all-time high. I love it. But today I feel that I changed my view about the Trump campaign. Up to now, I've said that it was pretty much a tie between him and Kamala, and I've not been enthusiastic enough due to the Jewish problem in the team of Trump. But today I feel that Trump is about to win the election, and I think he pulled two moves. There were two moves that went on his direction. Today, the ad, the work that he did at McDonald's, that was absolute genius. Absolute genius. He gave it everything. And in parallel, the work that Elon Musk is doing is actually the most deep work politically that is happening in this election campaign. Where Elon Musk is hosting these town halls in front of an American flag, and he's just sharing his views as a billionaire. And it is powerful. It is the deepest discussion of issues that is happening in this campaign, because this campaign is truly low profile. There's nothing important being discussed, either by Kamala or by Trump. But somehow Elon brought an intellectual aspect to it. And here Trump is saying Elon will be a secretary of cost cutting.
So that there's a lot of fat in government that you would want to slim
Incredible
down.
Incredible fat. So
what agencies would you want to shut down?
Well, let me have you ask another person that, because I'm going to have Elon Musk. He is dying to do this. You know, he's a great business guy, actually. You think of him for science and rockets, and every time I think he's telling me about a new screw that was developed, he's developed a new screw. Screws are difficult, and it's made out of titanium, and it's so exciting. But you know what? He's a great business guy, and he's a great cost cutter. You've seen that. And he said, I could cut costs without affecting anybody.
So he will be in the cabinet?
Not in the cabinet. He doesn't want to be in the cabinet. He just wants to be in charge of cost cutting. We'll have a new position, Secretary of Cost Cutting, okay? Elon wants to do that. And we have incredible people. He's running a big business. You know, he can't just say, oh, I think I'll go into the cabinet. You know, other people can. He can't. But Elon's a little bit different.
It would be absolutely fascinating to see Elon do what he did to Twitter. If Elon could do this with the government, I'd be ecstatic. Now, I don't know. Will that happen? I hope it happens. And today, the genius of Trump showed in his handling of a McDonald's task, because it's a subject of betting against Kamala, because Kamala was presenting herself as so much a person of the people that she would have worked at McDonald's. And people have questioned whether that was true at all. But Trump is kind of adding on top of it. He's saying, hey, I'm going to go fry some fries at McDonald's. Somehow he got a McDonald's to let him do a day of campaigning inside the McDonald's, distributing food to people. And it led to so much memes today. It was absolutely awesome.
If you're on his campaign, and I know you are certainly not, I'm not making any implication of that, but...
And that's the leftist coping about it.
What is the logic behind this, going to a McDonald's? I mean, we know the guy likes Big Macs and Filet-O-Fish, and he's used the word love to describe the way he feels about the food there before. But what's this about?
There's no logic to it. It's a stunt. He has not put forth an economic agenda.
It is a genius stunt. Because McDonald's is so symbolic of work. It's like, first, they give a lot of opportunities for young people to start off. And for many young people, it will be their first way of making money. And in that way, McDonald's is a representative of the American dream. A lot of people will have made their first money learning about the work environment from McDonald's. On top of it, it's an American success story in terms of capitalism, in terms of everything that Elon and Donald Trump care to bring back.
Agenda. He, as you know, is...
And on top of it, it's a straight answer to Kamala by saying, look, you bragged about in the past doing fries. I'm doing fries today.
Appears to be not well. And he's...
And the MSNBC host can't help it. He appears to be not well, let me remind you. Okay, well, he's well enough to be taking a physical task.
Engaged in some really bizarre types of activities during this campaign. So this is just another one of those stunts that he will continue on through the campaign. And I think that we need to really focus on making sure that he is not elected, of course, because he is a threat to our democracy, but also the Harris loss agenda is about the economy, reducing the cost of living, reducing the cost of prescription drugs, reducing the cost of housing, and making life better for everyone. And that's what we have to focus on and make sure we get every voter to the polls and make sure that the voters vote for the future, not taking the country backwards, as you see what Donald Trump continues to try to do. So I'm urging and encouraging everyone to get to the polls and vote.
So get to the polls and vote for Kamala. But Trump has been frustrating them so much. And look, it's all planned stuff. I'm sure those are agents that were handpicked by the campaign. We have a Spanish woman saying, "Oh, Trump, don't let oh, no, she's not a Spanish, she's a Brazilian woman. She says, "Don't let the US turn like Brazil. It's just perfect with the messaging of Trump." Now, I wish there was a white guy in there, but there was a black guy in a Brazilian family.
A lot of fun here, everybody.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Look at all the fake news over there. Hello, everybody.
We get Trump serving fries and Big Macs and complaining about the fake news. It's unbelievable.
You can fake this, right?
And you know this is compliments of Trump, okay?
Yes, thank you. Mr. President, yes. Please don't let the United States become Brazil, my native Brazil.
We'll
please,
keep it good.
Please, please.
We're going to make it better than ever, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure, Mr. President.
Compliments of Trump.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you over there.
Thank you for so much. Have a great time.
Have a good time.
Thank
nice
you
to see you.
Too,
bye,
nice
darling.
Have a good time.
Thank you. A lot of fun here, everybody.
Oh, my God.
This was very fake, but it's okay. It's so mimetic that it leads to lots of memes today. This one pretty interesting. Trump explaining to me why I can't have ice cream. Even under the Trump administration, the McDonald's ice cream machine is off. It's not working right now. Sorry, we can't have ice cream. Donald Trump gave me 7 nuggets in my 6-piece order, hashtag blessed. So, you know, those kind of basic experiences of the lower levels of society, this kind of blessing that you can feel when you have an extra nugget, this is very evocative, and Trump has mastered it. Now here he is being shown with a black family, going to the drive-in.
Okay, these are nice people we're meeting.
Yeah. So you can go ahead.
Right. Harry, look at this guy. I'm not going to mess with him, huh?
See, Kamala couldn't say this. He's basically implying that, oh, here's a black guy. Danger. Kamala could never do this. But Trump does it, and it reminds us that we have a free man here. We have a man who can say this.
Harry, look at this guy. I'm not going to mess with him, huh?
How you doing, sir?
And the guy comes in, the black guy, is so selected that he's not ready to play tug. He's not coming in to play tug. So he's all smiling and, hey, yeah, shake hands. And Trump is doing a reference to, I believe, his race or his muscles anyways. But the guy is so fake and so pad to be there and so prepared that he can't even follow Trump down his own path.
Harry, look at this guy. I'm not going to mess with him, huh?
How you doing, sir?
See, no comment on what Trump said. He just keeps he lets it roll off. Beautiful, but it's indicative that Trump is always, and that's what's beautiful with him, he's always larger than the script. You can't contain him in a script, and even if the other pieces of a fake demonstration are put together, Trump goes out while the other pieces stay in place. Longman says, I'm just saying the economic model is very similar between China and Brazil. Maybe it is. Here he is making a speech even to, as a fast food employee, speaking to the people outside the McDo.
I'll tell you what, it's a great franchise, it's a great company, and they've been very, very nice. And come on, you know, if you look at really what's happening, look at the crowd over there, look how happy everybody is. They're happy because they want hope. They need hope. And that's what we're doing, that's what we're going to give much more than hope.
What is working the fryer telling you about the people of Pennsylvania?
Make it fact.
Mr. President, you actually have worked at McDonald's now versus...
Now I have worked at McDonald's. I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala.
He's even successful at pushing kind of a conspiracy theory, this idea that Kamala is lying about her employment at McDonald's. This is so well made, and it falls on all of the points. You know, Trump is about Kamala is bullshitting you. Trump is about telling you the system is lying to you. And here he is as a McDonald's employee pointing to fake news, complaining against Kamala. He's like this almost too sympathetic of a McDonald's employee that starts annoying you with whatever his pet subject is. Dumping of the fries.
Right, hang it right up there.
Yeah.
And then you want to do the salt over here?
Yeah.
I did these ones already. They're good. You just gotta do that one right there. So grab that.
Can I give them extra salt?
No.
Can I give them extra salt?
Right there. And then.
Oh, that was a generous amount of salt. I'm sure that those fries were not following the nutritional guidelines of McDonald's. Am I the only one who've noticed that the McDonald's fries have gotten less salty? Is it possible that McDonald's has decided to lower the salt they give so that it would fit within nutritional requirements? I used to go to McDonald's, and let me tell you, the fries were covered in salt. You were eating salt. Now, these days when I go, you have to add the salt yourself. There's not much salt in McDonald's fries these days. Someone says another meme, if Trump can fix the ice cream machine, this election is over. Silver Spider says they are less salty. All right, thank you for the information. And look at the massive rally around a Trump serving fries. Absolutely massive. This is just people coming to see Trump serve fries in some last place. And credits to Elon Musk for introducing a lot of critical thinking, even to a middle of the ground or leftist base. In the last few days, he's been publishing these town halls, and they are the only political thinking that I've seen in this campaign. Nothing comes from Kamala, nothing comes from Trump, but it all comes from Elon. And I believe that the current rise of Trump is largely attributable to Elon. Consider this, the Elon catching the rocket thing. That was, you can see this as a massive event of the election campaign in the sense that for people to want to vote Trump, they need to have an impression that America is a big thing. That we can realize great things, that we can innovate, that we can move forward and be an exceptional country that makes exceptional things. Elon contributed to this feeling more than Trump himself in this whole election. By just catching the rocket, he has put it as a possibility that, hey, he may be the guy that brings us to Mars before a government even can. And he may be the guy who should cut the government so that he can keep his money to send us to Mars. This makes people dream. And the town halls that he's been giving are the best support I've ever seen for coming from a billionaire, other than financial support. Most of the billionaires that sponsor elections, they just throw cash. And they don't have this connection with the public that Elon Musk is capable of having.
That's a good point. I think teaching kids critical thinking is very important. They should be taught critical thinking. It's like a mental firewall. If you teach kids critical thinking at a young age, and just teach them the types of fallacies that they're likely to encounter, the sort of forms of trickery, like straw man fallacy, or there's like the various ways that that information that like media or people will trick you, and just kind of immunizing kids effectively against that, I think early on would be a very good thing to do. Basically, just teach kids like be skeptical about what you're told. It may be true, it may not be true, or it may be that often there's a certain percentage chance that it is true, and you want to consider the evidence, weigh the evidence to decide what is the probability that a certain thing is true or not true. And then when you hear more evidence, then you change the probabilities. Generally, like I believe in the sort of physics approach to thinking, which is that you're always like you're always weighing the probabilities that something is true or not true.
Stress Channel says they need to know that an appeal to authority is a fallacy. Yes, and I've heard, you know, back in my days of debate, that was clear, that was a given, back in the blood sports days. And then there was a whole wave of leftist YouTuber who modified Wikipedia, and they started arguing that, oh no, an appeal to authority is not a fallacy in and of itself, it depends on the authority you're quoting. And I was like, what the fuck is this? How can you believe this? How can you lower your standard that way? Here he shares his views on abortion, and this is helping. This is helping to move his base, which is basically a bunch of engineer liberals and people who aren't very strongly right wing. You know, they've been educated in the college system. They will be centrist at best, and he's helping them move them to the right.
I'm just wondering if you would ever consider publicly supporting the pro-life movement.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously this is a contentious topic, if there ever was one. It is perhaps the most contentious topic. And to be clear out there, President Trump has been clear that he will veto a national abortion ban. He has said that because the Democrats have said that he will apply a national abortion ban, and that is causing a lot of independent voters to actually not vote for Trump because they think that he will implement a national abortion ban. He has been very clear that he thinks it's a state's rights issue, and he will veto a national abortion ban. There is no answer to this question that will not offend some number of people. But nonetheless, I will tell you what my opinion is, which will certainly offend some number of people. My opinion is that if a baby can survive outside the womb, it cannot be aborted. It cannot.
See, that's a new position. I had not heard that one from Elon before. Perhaps he has said it, but it's interesting. He's truly helping take a bunch of undecided voters. Perhaps he's doing it strategically, but in any case, it's the best strategy being pulled on the Trump side right now. It's what he needs to do, which is why, given it was a tie before, I think that, if anything, the last week, of high performance on the side of Trump and low performance on the side of Kamala, because her absence at the Al Smith dinner was totally ridiculous. People have mocked her little video. So Kamala has no reach right now where she's winning. She's only maintaining herself with her current base, and you have Trump making progress here. I think Trump may be headed for a win if he keeps innovating that way and out-competing Kamala in the election strategy. Rosie O'Donnell is boycotting McDonald's after they allowed Trump to cook burgers and fries. Catherine says she'll be back. Rosie O'Donnell. What an interesting woman. Look at the elementary school teacher level of condescension on the side of Kamala. I just can't believe it.
Say it with me if you know it. I'm going to sing it. Bum, bum, ba-na-nam. Hey, that's really good. Okay, let's try something different. That's three syllables, right? I've got another word with three syllables. It's ka-ma-la. You want to try it? Yeah. All right, let's go. Bum. Bum, ba, na, na. Kamala! Yes! Say it with me if you know it.
This is what you do with crowds of kids. Why is the Democrat Party constantly treating its base as retarded? It's probably because they somewhat are. It's the leftist wants to be condescended upon. Too bad. What could be my last message to you for all for years, says Tommy Robinson. Oh my God, Tommy Robinson is trying to promote his book and he says he may be jailed. I think that when you predict you're going to be jailed, it's likely you're not going to be jailed. And it's likely this is just a promotion for your book. But let's listen a little bit to it.
Morning, everybody. Oh, yeah.
Why do I have to hear the breathing of Tommy Robinson every time I watch these videos? It's like, morning, everyone. Oh, I've just been eating a lot. This is disgusting, bro. Do better audio.
Morning, everybody. Oh, yeah. For the last...
Oh, there. Here's some burger I just ate. A burger.
Weeks. Eaten like a horse.
I've eaten like a horse.
I expect to be detained today.
He expects to be detained. I'll believe it when I see it. He says he's going to be detained because of this documentary. And so this documentary is so important. Go check the documentary. Okay, whatever. Nick, by the way, Nick Fuentes on Kick is the most hilarious thing. Because Kick somehow, Nick Fuentes had a deal with Steak. Because when you go on Kick, you know, it's a platform that's highly associated with gambling. And somehow Qatar Airways, you know, Qatar Airways, this Arab company, what country is it? It's from Qatar, I guess. But there are various Arab countries that work with Qatar Airways. And somehow Nick Fuentes is now sponsored by Qatar Airways. And he takes these extreme positions against the Arab Emirates. He's like, I want to destroy the Arab Emirates. But he makes it a joke around the fact that he's now sponsored by Qatar Airways.
Are going to play by the rules here. I have no intention of breaking the rules. There will be no hate speech. No hate speech on the stream at all. As a matter of fact, no politics or anything. As a matter of fact, it's a good time to remind everybody that you can save up to 12% on your next trip if you're flying Qatar Airways. Make sure to apply for a Qatar Airways Visa card for extra points, extra miles. Qatar Airways, plan your next trip, fly the friendly skies. With the first name in international flights, the most trusted name, Qatar Airways, are actually a great company. I wouldn't recommend them if I didn't use it myself, actually. Qatar Airways, I always fly Qatar Airways every time. I just want you to know, every time that I travel, I fly Qatar Airways. Whether I'm flying to Qatar to receive money to support Palestine, whether I'm flying to Afghanistan to support the Taliban in implementing Sharia law, or when I fly to Russia to work for Vladimir Putin, I always fly Qatar Airways, 12% off on your...
Okay, this is some of the most hilarious Nick Fuentes content I've seen in my life. He starts bashing onto the United Arab Emirates. All of this because he has this new sponsor. It's great to see that there are courageous companies willing to sponsor edgy content, and it made me smile a lot. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, regarding your repost about the sins of the boomer generation, I think history will not understand why millennials did not take a course of political vengeance on them, like trying to deny the boomers their pensions / social security before they die and the funds become insolvent. Yeah, but it's the fact that the next generation, the current generation of young adults, does not have political power. Have you ever been to a voting station? It's like the average age is maybe 82 years old. I mean, I'm exaggerating here, but I've seen voting station where the average age of the people in line waiting to vote was about 82 years old. It's unbelievable, but you know, the boomers will have had political power until their death, and this is not going to change before their death. So it's impossible for the current generation to say we're going to somehow get justice on this or invert the curve of injustice, generational injustice. So there is no other option for the young adults but to endure the combined force of leftism pushed by their boomer parents and grandparents and the immigrants coming in. We don't have the numbers. The people who would revolt against such a system may be 5-10% of the population. It's not a democratic force that's capable of reversing this action. Sneeko has been re-banned again on YouTube within 24 hours of his unban. Unbelievable, they unban him and then they re-ban him. YouTube is so unstable, it's not a fit platform to work on. Joker 2 crossed $192 million globally. The film had a $200 million budget. I think it's not so bad. So that means they're on their way to be not losing money. I think it's what you can expect from a not total success, but just acceptable success. And it's in line with my analysis of the movie, which is it's not as good as Joker 1, but it's not a terrible movie. I don't see why it would lose money. Listen, this guy is kind of late. Every now and again, I see a bit of data that makes me think we may not end up saving Britain. Only about 30% of Brits in 2020 believe you have to be born in Britain to be British, down from 75% in 2013. You just understood this now, that we won't be able to save Britain. I've understood this. We're in 2024. I talked about this on a show with Frame Games with Mike Benz 10 years ago, approximately, maybe 9 years ago, 8 years ago. Britain has been unsalvageable for a long time. And that is pretty much it. Other than this, there are news of war. There's lots of bombardment of Beirut by Israel right now. There were also lots of drones apparently sent toward Israel, perhaps from Yemen. And we have President Xi Jinping of China ordering the military to prepare for war. So we're seeing a lot of movement, and this is why in this election, I'm afraid, no matter how much I support the Elon Musk project and I love Trump as an individual, we're headed toward a massive war that will involve China, Russia, Iran, Israel, Taiwan, and that can't be good. That will be it for tonight, boys. John Drake says they've already canceled Joker 3, JF. Well, yeah, because Joker 2 couldn't be as good as Joker 1, it's very hard to justify continuing. Although I think that a Joker 3 would probably be better than Joker 2. Anyways, if you'd like to support the show, go support the Patreon or the Subscribestar. I've been unable to do the private Patreon hangout, but we'll schedule it soon. It's going to be late this month. This month, it's probably going to be in a week and a half from now. But that's just what I can do. So around the 29th of this month. Generally, I try to do the private hangout between the 10th and the 20th, but it's impossible. This month has been too crazy. Much love, everyone. Sleep well. And thank you very much for the support for the show. I'll see you all tomorrow. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.